Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Lady Nene Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Yes. Welcome, 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 everybody. That is the boss lady herself. And for those that were with us last week, y'all know she put in a cameo appearance, so I got to make sure I'm on point because we never know when Boss Lady is going to be checking in. You are listening live to the Scoreboard Sports Show. We are your radio tailgate party. And my name is Tony, and I'm going to be joined here momentarily. You know, it's still early for my partner, Mr. Jazz Scoreboard. It's 8:02. I give him about 3 minutes. But welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We are here every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And just to back up with Boss Lady, you know, she has some phenomenal works out. And for all you worldwide trappers, part 5 will be dropping in just a couple of months. Yes, she has finished part 5, and she's going to get it into the hand of us readers sometime in July. Sometime this summer. I'm not going to put a time frame on it, but we're hoping for July for that heat, that Nene Capri heat that only she can bring us. So keep your eyes peeled. But in the meantime and in between time, make sure you catch up on parts 1 through 4. That's right. I usually go back and read just to make sure Boss Lady is giving us true P-Trap material and making sure everything is falling in place. So make sure you get caught up. P-Trap 1 through 4, and by the time part 5 drops, you'll be ready to rock and roll. And in addition to P-Trap series by Nene Capri, she also has that Trust No Bitch series. That's parts 1, 2, and 3. And I think a little bird told me that she and Cash are actually working on a prequel to that. Don't quote me. They may be working on a prequel. We shall see. We want to know how it all got started. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And she also has Dreamweaver. She has Diamond Pumps and Glocks that she co-wrote with the beautiful authoress Black. So make sure you pick those up. Now, in addition to her work, she also has her publishing, Nene Capri Presents, and she has some great works by some wonderful authors. So let's see. She has The Wrath by Rance McNeil and Sinful Lust by the beautiful Imani Hilton and That Devious Deception by the one and only S. Chameleon. So pick those up. And just to give out a shout out to our sponsors that keep our lights on and her name in that neon rays, we have the Iron Throne magazine. Make sure you follow her and keep abreast of what's going on in that magazine, as well as the Fleet DJs of the ATL, the Brit Network, 1K Media Group, and the Media Vision 848. Young American, Young Urban American Group, and, of course, my baby, Book Write Editing. So that's just a few things of us going on here on the scoreboard. Our sponsors and Nene Capri's books, make sure you hit them up. Now, a lot has been going on in the sports world. You know, I know there was some boxing going on this weekend, as well as the NBA playoffs are rolling along. We had a couple of sweeps. Yeah, get your brooms out. Two teams did sweep. It's no surprise that it is the Cleveland Cavs as well as the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, they swept. And actually, as a game going on right now, I think the most exciting game, I think that's, I want to say San Antonio. I'm thinking it's San Antonio. I think it started around 8 o'clock, right at the top of our show. So let me know who you guys are cheering for. Is your team still in? Mine has been long gone. Y'all know I'm a homer. I stick with my home teams, even to the bitter end, I must say. Yeah, I'm a homer. Got me. But I digress. I'm sure Jazz and Louie are gonna pounce on me for that. But once again, you're listening to The Scoreboard. My name is Tony, and I'm going to be joined shortly by the guys. And in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and play some music while they get themselves situated. Let's see, we have so much music in our library. Thank you so much to all the authors. You hear me, authors? I always got a book on the brain. The artists that have donated the music in our library, between this library and our library on Let's Chat, we are just swimming in awesome music. But Ike Breeze, he's one of our sports phenoms. He joins us every Sunday during the football season. Oh, maybe not. I'm going to have to play Mr. Ike Breeze. He likes those Seattle Sea Chicks. Yeah, he's a Sea Chick fan. Yeah, Ike, I said it. Come find me. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my Mr. Tardy partner, Jazz Scoreboard. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, baby? How are you? I see you causing trouble, so... Hey, do your thing. Do your thing. I'm not here to interrupt your flow. Do your thing.
My flow has been flowing since 8 p.m. Now, Jazz, you should have known. After Boss Lady joined us last week, we never know when she's going to pop in here. And look what time you rolling up in the clubhouse. I'm just saying. I can only cover but so many minutes, buddy.
But, dude, you're supposed to cover for me, dude. Come on. You're knocking me out,
covered.
Man. Dude, ride with me. Ride with me. You're not riding with me.
I'm riding shotgun. I've been holding this fort down, you know?
Well,
but I never know when she's going to pop in. She popped in on us last week.
She all right.
Did you expect
she all right.
that?
She understand
expect
how it flows. She understand right. how it flows.
Okay. Long as one of
it's
us
okay.
are on point.
Absolutely. You on point, and I bring up the rear. That's how we get. That's how we do.
And we rolling, rolling, rolling. So, Jazz,
exactly.
What's going
how
on, buddy?
Doing?
I know you had a – I'm good. I just came back from a great weekend. Leisha and I went on the road
okay.
in Detroit, our first road
wow.
trip. I don't know if you caught
nice.
Some of my video. It was exciting.
Nice.
But although Uh-oh. We had tons of people tuning in, it was great. It was really great.
Excellent.
So how was
That's
your weekend?
It was pretty good, you know what I mean? I had a good weekend, you know, I watched the fight, you know. I'm pretty sure everybody's aware of what happened with the fight, so just for a mm-hmm. quick recap for people who are not aware.
Okay.
Julio Cesar Chavez and Canelo Alvarez fought this weekend. The fight
right.
was, it was terrible. Let me just say, people. I was disappointed in that fight. Like, literally, I wanted to turn a couple times. That's how bad the fight was.
You wasn't alone,
Cesar. Well, I mean, Chavez didn't win a round. He basically showed up for his daddy. His daddy yelling at him. Everybody yelling at him. He don't want to be there. It looked like he didn't want to be there. It all just made, you know, he was there for the check. But then.
That's it.
You know, but then the night was saved by the announcement even though the announcement wasn't WWE worthy, because I think that it could have been better, put together better, with more dramatics, but it was announced that Canelo Alvarez will fight Triple G, and they will fight in September, I think, 16th, either the 10th or the 16th, and it will be at 160. So, for, you know, for people who've been listening, I've been rallying for this fight for the past maybe year or some change. So the fight is about to happen. It's not like the Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor fight where you have a boxer fighting a MMA guy. This is two boxers who have a combined 83-1 with one no decision. So this fight is the biggest fight of the year. I mean, this is finally going to happen. So I'm excited. And I hope that for you boxing fans, I hope you guys are excited. And for people who don't really follow boxing, you will hear about this fight as it gets closer. And I would suggest that you watch the fight. Buy the fight because it's going to be worth the money. I guarantee that.
You know, a lot of people, that's all I've been hearing is about this fight, Jazz. And just to piggyback on what you said, it was said that his parents were literally sitting there with disgust on their faces at the state that he fought in, or should I say lack of fighting in. So it wasn't just it was across the board. It was just a disgrace to the name. And they were even, a lot of people were even saying that he's only in it because of the name. It's not like he had to box. You know, a lot of boxers come from less wealth. You know, they are fighting their way out of poverty, and he didn't have, that wasn't the case with him. So he went in based on his name, and it's showing that he just doesn't have that heart to be in there.
Well, the one thing about Chavez Jr. is basically his last five fights, he's been getting fights. He's been 1-3 in his last four fights before this most recent loss. The only reason why he getting these fights is because he is managed by Al Haymon. And Al Haymon, at this point, the reason why he got the fight with Canelo was because Al Haymon needed to get that last little bit of money that Chavez owed him. So let me get this last little bit of money. That's why I was on pay-per-view. Let me get that last little bit of money that you owe me, Julio, and now you can go ride out. So he should retire at this point. I don't think that he should continue to fight. I think he should retire, and I think that it'd be hard for him to get fight after this latest debacle. So hopefully you'll be hearing an announcement that he's retiring sometime soon.
And it couldn't come any sooner based on a lot of people's, you know, how the taste that was left after this weekend in their mouths.
Yeah, you had to pay for it. That's the biggest part. It was pay-per-view. You had to pay for that. That was terrible. I mean,
I know. And anytime you say you
want to
turn away from a fight, that's bad.
Oh, my God, it was terrible. Yeah, it was terrible. It was bad. The undercard was pretty good, but the fight itself was bad. Yeah, the night was saved by the announcement, so... like I said, you'll be hearing a lot within the last, you know, the next 4 months. You'll be hearing a lot about the fight. So as it gets closer, we're going to ask everybody who they got. So,
I already know who I'm riding with. As soon as the announcement was made, I knew who I was riding with.
Who you riding with?
I'm riding with Triple G.
Oh, here you go. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm glad we got that on tape in May.
You got the first step. That's it. I don't go back. You know, I usually ride. When I ride hard.
Okay.
You're always surprised at the outcome. You know, you surprised. Yeah, you was right. Let me get it out the way. Yeah, you was right.
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, I thought you would have been a Canelo girl. You know, I thought you would have been Ryan with Canelo, we'll see.
So you can't put your wager on so soon?
Before we get before we we got some months now. We got injuries that can happen.
Okay.
Canelo could back out of the fight. That's highly possible. Look, until the fight happens, I have doubts because I really don't believe that Canelo want to fight.
Really?
So, you know, we could have a shoulder injury, a shin, a calf muscle injury. Anything can happen between now and then.
So as the fight gets closer. You're looking for excuses.
I'm just saying, stranger things have happened. You know, people separate shoulders, they pull muscles. You know, so I want it to happen. But, I mean, as we get closer in a couple months, yes, I will have, I make no bones about who I'm riding with. So that, but let me ask you this before we get off the subject. Why Triple G?
Okay. I'm just going with Triple G. I'm not going to say because I like three letters. I'm not going to be that fickle.
Wow. Yeah.
No, I'm just riding with Triple G. I'll put it all in a nutshell next week. How's that?
Okay, that's you got time. I mean, you know.
Like you said, excuses happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would accept it if you would have said because he got a cooler nickname. I'd accepted that. You know, it's okay. No problem.
That too.
You know.
That too. That
you know, when
too.
You say
I
Triple G,
all...
people be like, "Oh, okay." So yeah,
that
we'll
just
so
grand.
Now
it sounds grand, triple grand.
Okay, I go with that. You know, he 1,000. Mm-hmm. I go with that. So okay, so I know by now, you know. Do you believe we'll in basketball? Okay, since we still have
Before we start that, Louis, when you're ready to come into the clubhouse, just press your 1 so you can get in on these shenanigans that Jazz is throwing at me.
Yeah, and if he got a pick for the Triple G fight, I would love to know that too. So,
hey, Louis, how
you
doing?
We can always.
I'm good. How about you guys?
What's happening?
Just grinding.
I feel you. Okay, so do you have a you know if you are aware of the happenings this weekend with Triple G and Canelo, then do you have a boxer that you favor at this moment? If not, then it's okay.
Don't really have a boxer that I favor. I don't really because I don't pay for it. Like, I'm not a big pay-per-view person. I don't like having to pay extra money to watch stuff. So I don't really get to follow it as much as possible and as much as I probably should. So I'm gonna have to pass on that one and choosing a winner and all of that until I can get some research done.
That's fine. Well then, I got a baseball question for you, sir. I've been waiting for you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Come on now. Play fair now. You're not playing fair. You're not playing fair.
Oh, you heard that?
Come on. We all heard that. Don't do that. Come on. Let's play fair. He is impartial right now. We're going to keep him impartial right now. So now he's impartial. So he's open to persuading by either of us. But we'll get back to that. So I have a baseball question for you, sir.
Okay.
Before we go into basketball, by record, are the Yankees that good right now, or is it just early? Because I know that she was going. I know she big New York. I know she a homer, so I know she knows how good they are. I'm just asking a question.
You asking Louis? You gonna bypass the homer? You got it, Louis.
We gotta get a true perspective, not a fan's perspective on that one.
Exactly.
Can't get
any
bias in there.
Exactly.
It's kind of hard to tell with them right now because the Yankees have finally done what the Yankees never do, and that's decided to go young and rebuild. And they've got a lot of young talent right now, and they're playing. I don't know if they're playing above their heads, if they're that good, or what's going on. You know, they're playing at a high level right now. They're young, so I would expect them to tailor, you know, to tailor off some and to slow mm-hmm. down this pace. But I mean, they've got a nice mix of really young, really high quality talent, and enough veterans to kind of keep them level. It could be a mm-hmm. fun season for the Yankees, but I don't think these young guys that are helping propel all of this are going to be able to maintain that, you know, the entire year, obviously.
Okay. So, Ms. Homer, you can't add anything to that.
Of
it's
course.
Your time to shine.
The Yankees are the real deal. Have you guys seen what Judge has been doing? And we still wait for our other young talent to get back from the injury list. You know, they are exceeding where people thought that they were going to be, because here in New York, it was going to be all about the Mets. And the Mets have went south, whereas the Yankees are just doing what, you know, the young bombers are doing.
Aaron Judge is the real deal.
Saying.
I love that kid. I love Aaron Judge. I think he's everything that Yankees fans hope he'll be. He's got size. He's got power. He's not a hindrance in the field. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like Tony just said though, that they're exceeding expectations. Baseball is an evil game of ups and downs. It's a long
mm-hmm.
162 game season. You're only 30 games in. Like you haven't hit any kind of milestone yet. You're only 30 games in. There's going to be a downswing for Aaron Judge.
Yep.
And there's going to be a downswing for some of these younger players. And it's going to be, how do they adjust their game to, even though they may not be producing at the highest level, they're still helping their team and not hurting them. And how do they handle the mental and the emotional grind of being in a 1-for-25 slump? And do they just keep working at it and get themselves out of it, or do they let it overtake them and kind of, you know, fall off the face of the earth for the rest of the season?
And
that's
also, just to piggyback on what Louis said, because they started off as such a great, you know, they're 21-9 right now, I believe, and the downfall
yes.
will come, the slump will come, but you want it to come when you're above the grid that you expect it to be when the slump would hit you, you know, so they have these winning games to fall back on just in case the slump exceeds, you know, far exceeds what a normal slump should be. But just to build those wins, no matter how you win, as long as you win, you have more in the winning column than the losing column. That's my pick.
I agree, I mean that's a nice touch, but you know, mm-hmm. you're in a really tough American League East, because even though the Yankees are 21-9 and they're playing above what everybody thought they would, the Orioles are right behind
mm-hmm.
them at 21-10. You know, the Red Sox are young and competing. You know, it's a really tough division.
Okay.
So if you slump and you start falling down in the standings, do those young players get hungry, or do you see them kind of go, oh, crap, and start pressing and making things worse?
Okay, so now, how much do you guys believe that the Matt Harvey suspension with the Mets, how much do you think that that has to do with the Mets going south or up?
That's a whole can of worms right there with the Matt Harvey situation.
Yeah,
hey, Louie.
that's hard to get into, because, like, even though they're not playing at the level that they wanted to play, and it kind of looks like right now that NL East is going to be a runaway for Washington, because they're playing at an extremely high level right now too. It's hard for me to say that this is just shutting him down because he did something stupid, but then also, you know, to kind of maybe save him for a little bit. I mean, because he's arguably like one of the faces of your franchise. You are,
absolutely.
You know, a competitive. You are a competitive team. So it's kind of hard for me to believe that, like, they would just shut him down just to shut him down. Like, for them to suspend him, like, he probably deserved it.
I just want to put my two cents in, because this is not the first time that he's been called out. I don't know how much makes it outside of the New York media, But I think it's just a matter, the way I see it, is that management is getting tired of, as we like to say here in Real Real Radio, the shenanigans, you know. And I think he is drinking more of his Kool-Aid than anybody else is. So, and the apology that he gave the fans, us the fans today, just didn't ring 100%. You see what I'm saying? So it's just,
what
you
mean,
see it as management is just getting tired of the things that he's doing, and he's not taking his job seriously. How can you come to play after doing all the things that he had done before the game? I'm sorry, what were you saying, guys?
Well, I was going to ask you, what about the apology didn't ring true for you?
It's just his monotone, the things he was saying, like he was just saying things because it needed to be heard, and it wasn't things that he felt. Does that make sense to you?
I mean, it does. You know, if you say he didn't say it with any conviction, or, you know, he didn't sound sincere. Okay, I mean, I guess. I can go with that. I guess.
I didn't feel it when I heard him. I didn't feel it when he was saying his quote unquote apology for missing the game. I mean, he knows when his rotation is in the game. He knows what he needs to do before a game. So why go out and play golf, hang out, you pass curfew, and all those things going to hinder you from going out there and giving 100% to your teammates? You know, you not only let your fans down, you let your teammates down. He was out Friday night. He was past curfew. He went golfing that morning. He put himself in a bad place. And how can you show up for game when you've done all these things leading up to it? That's not a point of a responsible pitcher. You know, you can't be the face of a franchise doing those types of things. And I don't exactly see him as the face of the franchise.
Well, he's the face because of the amount of money you're paying him.
He was set up to be the anchor of that really young rotation of him, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Steven Matz, and Zach Wheeler was the other guy. Like, and they had three legitimate aces and two very solid number two or number three guys in that rotation. And Matt Harvey was supposed to be the anchor. He got hurt. He's been hurt the last couple of years, and we saw Noah Syndergaard take control of that rotation and take control of that pitching, you know, and be the leader of that pitching rotation like Matt Harvey was supposed to be. And I don't know if it's Matt Harvey not being able to adjust to not being the man in New York anymore, or if it's him saying, oh, well, I'm not the man. I'm not the responsible one anymore. I'm not the leader. So I get to go goof off a little bit more. And he took it too far.
But wait a minute, lad. You mentioned Syndergaard. Now, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Syndergaard out right now?
He's missing time. But position-wise and leadership-wise in the locker room, he has stepped up last year. And when Harvey had to miss time the year before that, and when DeGrom had to miss time, Syndergaard had to step up and mature and be the ace and be the leader of that pitching rotation. And with being the ace, it's not just about being the best pitcher. It's about making sure you and the other four are all on the same page, have all the same, you know, that you guys are doing your thing, you know. And maybe with Syndergaard being hurt and having to take treatments and not always being in the clubhouse with the guys, you know, maybe Harvey and a couple of the guys, you know, decided they were off, and then, you know, all of a sudden slacking off became a habit, and now we got this debacle.
Now, you talk about being the face of a franchise. I see Syndergaard as the face of the Mets more so than Matt Harvey. And it's also that leadership, you know. I mean, he's out because of some things that he should have done as well. It's like the MRI. He should have had an MRI taken, and he chose not to. So now, as a result, he is out on the injured list.
But
so,
2 years ago,
such is
two
the
and
Mets
half years
these
ago,
days.
Matt Harvey was the Dark Knight. He was New York Mets' savior. He
came
to
the rescue.
The next, he was going to be the next big man. And then I think because of injuries and some other things, he got bypassed by a much better pitcher in Noah Syndergaard. And Syndergaard developed a lot quicker than they thought he would, and he showed the dominance. So now he's been bypassed as the ace in that staff. And there's some people who thrive on being the ace. There's some people that have to be the number one guy. They have to get the ball on opening day. They have to be the one that the pitching rotation looks to for leadership. And then there's other guys who can't thrive in that situation of being the ace. I think Harvey's one of those guys that he needed to be the number one. He needed he needed Syndergaard and DeGrom and Wheeler and Matt to look up to him and show that leadership. And now that they don't need him, I think he's still, you know, trying to refine his role in that clubhouse.
And that's why I say I think he's drinking his own Kool-Aid.
Well, I mean, but a couple years ago in the playoffs, he went against his agent and he went against his doctor and pitched in the postseason when he wasn't supposed to, because they said, we can shut you down now, you won't need surgery, but you can't pitch in the postseason, but you'll be fine for next season. Or you can pitch in the postseason and risk having to have surgery. He chose to pitch in the postseason because he knew his teammates needed him and that they needed him to be that guy. And now they don't need him to be that guy anymore. So I don't know if he can handle that. Like, I think it's just a mental thing from him. He went from being the guy that everybody leaned on and was the crutch to now he's just another guy in that rotation. And it might have messed with his mental, like, preparations on how to get ready for a game and how to handle certain situations. I'm not giving the dude an excuse. He's a professional. He needs to do his job. But baseball is a very mental, it's a chess game. There's certain things that you just have to do. You know, certain guys have to do certain things to be ready. And I think Matt Harvey's mojo got thrown over these last couple of seasons, not having to be the guy anymore. And now we're kind of seeing the backlash of it all.
Yeah, I think you're right. And by the way, you're listening to the Scoreboard with Miss Jazz, Miss Tony, Louis Mack. We're talking baseball. And if you want to call in and discuss your team, because I know that we're strictly talking about New York right now, if you want to talk about the Giants losing their big dog, if you want to talk about how bad Atlanta's doing right now, if you want to talk about how good Baltimore's doing.
You had to do it, didn't you? You had to do it.
Look at Jazz being the professional.
Sorry.
You go ahead. Tag that show, man.
Thank you, baby. So, anybody, you call in. We could talk whatever you like. We could talk horse racing. We could talk about horse racing. We could talk soccer. We could talk whatever you like. We got you. So
Don't get crazy, Jazz.
I'm crazy today.
Hey, we talk real sports on this show.
Wow. And Dale Jr. retired, and this is what you get. Now you talking like this. So
I'm just saying. We talk real sports.
Well, you got a point. I'm not saying that horse racing and soccer is not real sports, because soccer,
I am.
You know, rugby and all that, they get down. They get down now. But I digress. So now I would like to, you know, if we're ready, I would like to switch to basketball, and I got a couple questions for you guys since we only got a half hour left. First question is Washington and Boston. Who wins game five?
I'm going with Washington.
Washington.
And I think our listeners that have rolled with me kind of know why.
Okay.
But they played some ball that last game.
I want to say Washington just because I like John Wall's game. I like John Wall and Bradley Beal, and I like what they do, and I want to see him succeed, and I want to see him kind of get that recognition on the national level that they deserve. But Isaiah Thomas has a way of just making things not fun for other teams. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But he figures it out and he does it, and I can't bet against him, so I'm gonna say Boston takes this one.
Okay. I'm going to agree with you, Louie, and take Boston strictly because the home team has won every game up until now. And last game, Isaiah, he politicked for the game. He politicked for the call for game five. I expect for him to get it. And the fact that him and his coach were both saying that Washington is playing a little too physical, they're playing a little too rough, that makes me believe that the refs will be extra kind to Isaiah Thomas in game five. And FYI, they're saying the same thing that Millsap and Boomhauser said from Atlanta. Washington is playing a little too rough. So
oh,
do you guys believe that Washington plays a little too rough for today's NBA?
Oh, I mean, we're talking today's NBA. I think everybody plays too rough.
I have to put that precursor in there, today's NBA. Because, I mean,
If this was a regular season game, I could see the crybabying. I could see the posturing that they're playing too rough. But everybody knows that when it gets to the playoffs, especially in a tight series with pretty evenly matched teams,
mm-hmm.
as it seems so far,
absolutely.
That you got to get an edge in any way you can. And sometimes that edge is being physical and getting in people's faces and
mm-hmm.
hitting, fouling harder than you normally would, shaking the guy up. Especially with a guy, you know, Isaiah Thomas' size. The guy's a baller, but, you know, when you've got 4 or 5 inches on
mm-hmm.
him and you've got the reach,
exactly.
and you've got everything on him, get in his face, D him up, play him a little hard, see if you can knock him off his rhythm, and you should be good to go. So, if it was regular season, like midway through the regular season, I could see this. I could get behind Boston saying, "Hey, you guys are playing too rough. Like, you know, we all want to win, but you know, it's regular season. Chill out. It's the playoffs, man, and you're in a tightly contested series to see who's going to get the crap kicked out of you by LeBron James and the Cavs. You got to play a little bit harder."
Yeah, it is all
about
that.
Well, my take on it is
that,
you know, every athlete goes into the postseason knowing it is a whole different ball game, and they don't play the same way they played in all those previous games. But if you want to talk physical, I don't see Washington being any less physical than some of the other teams. And Boston, of all teams, is crying about physicality. But is there
mm-hmm.
is he a dirty player? He's been in the midst of some troubles. You know, Boston cannot say that other teams are physical. I just don't see it, and it's a whole. And then, like Louis said, you want to gain an edge. You can also gain an edge on the flip side and start complaining. So give the referees a reason to want to call it on your side. So
absolutely.
You know, you want to get an edge. It can go either way.
I mean, like Isaiah Thomas said, I am a top five MVP candidate. I should get the call.
Nah,
that's what he said.
Nah,
I ain't mad at him.
Nah. Oh, I'm not mad at him. Say what you got to say. But, bro, I mean, this is the time of year that these are the series and these are the games and these are the moments that help you go from being a hero to being a legend. We know heroes are always remembered, but legends never die. Like, Michael Jordan will live forever because he is the greatest of all time on the basketball court. LeBron James, when it's all said and done, will be remembered forever in the history of basketball. These are the moments and these are the games that create that. Isaiah Thomas needs to go create his moment and quit crying to the refs and quit crying to the media and just go make the moment. Because if you take that hard hit and you make that dazzling play and that and one, like Dwayne Wade did in 06 against, I don't remember who it was against, but Dwayne Wade cuts to the basket. He goes up for the dunk. He gets undercut. And then while he's rolling in the air, he flips the ball up and sinks it for the and one that helps them win that game and move on and win the championship that season. That's the type of moment you can make if you don't cry to the refs every 3 seconds and just go play the game.
Okay.
Can I also add that at this level,
okay.
I'm sorry, Jazz, but at this level that they have gone to at this point in this postseason, everybody is at a playing, you know, everybody is great players out on that court. You know, it's not just I'm one of five MVPs or whatever. At this point, there's a lot. They're all, you know, each time you pass the level, you feel that the players on that level are playing at a level that everybody's gonna want to call. You can't call it for everybody. You just have to call the game the way it should be called. I don't think just because you're in the top five, you should get the call.
Okay. So now.
That's just my
next
point.
Question.
To address that the Kelly Olynyk is dirty, when you have the dirtiest player in the game of Draymond Green coming out and saying that you're a dirty player, you might need to check yourself in the mirror.
Okay.
So now, who wins the Houston San Antonio game five?
I hope Houston wins that series because that's going to be a fun series between Houston and Warriors.
Okay, so you go with Houston.
Yes.
Okay. What about you, Ms. Tony?
I'm going with San Antonio only because of the fact that I like Kawhi Leonard. And you know how I feel about James Harden. You've always known since day one at the scoreboard how I feel about James Harden.
Yeah.
But it's been an interesting series. It's been an evenly matched series. It's just been it's been a grinding series, and the stars are coming out in that series. You want to talk about stars?
I agree.
I just want to see Houston and the Warriors put up like 150 every night against each other because neither team's gonna play defense in that series. It's just gonna be raining threes. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna look like somebody playing NBA 2K.
So then, like, let me ask you guys this: with Golden State and Cleveland both sweeping their first two opponents, are they both setting? Are they both making a statement that we are just that much head and shoulders above everybody else?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I definitely say yes to LeBron because LeBron's doing stuff in the postseason that we haven't seen ever. Like I was listening to Colin Cowherd the other day and they were running through some of the stats and stuff. LeBron James is doing stuff in the postseason that we haven't seen since MJ. And even if MJ even did it, like there's some stuff that even MJ didn't do. Like LeBron's playing on a whole nother level right now. So I definitely say LeBron is definitely throwing it down, saying, I'm better than you. Get out of my way. I think this is just the Warriors team that we all thought we were hoping to see during the regular season. They're clicking on all cylinders.
Absolutely.
They've got four amazing players. They've got three of top scorers. I mean, this is just a Warriors team that I think they finally, you know, they when they click and they got all the players together, it's hard to keep up with them.
Okay. What do you say, Ms. Tony?
I do agree that LeBron is playing at a whole different level than we've seen him or that we've seen sometimes in generational. But I want to ask you guys, is it more so because of the supporting cast that they have around them? I think the addition of Kyle Korver to Cleveland has upped their game so much because of his outside shooting. You know, and I don't think that they would be where they are without him being a part of that team. I just don't see it. You know, I knew he was good on those outside shots because not all the players show up when Cleveland needs them. And at least with Golden State, you know who you have out on the floor on a nightly basis. So LeBron has always had to work a little bit harder than, like, say, Steph Curry.
I mean, I'll give you that the supporting cast in Cleveland is not as good as, say, like a Warriors team or anything like that. But I think this is LeBron knowing that because he's lost some finals, like he's lost three finals appearances, I think three, maybe four, that he's never going to win the argument against him or MJ on pure titles. He's never going to – even if he gets the 6 or 7 titles in his career, they're going to look at him and say, well, you lost 3. MJ never lost to the finals. MJ never saw a game 7 in the finals. Like, and he knows
yeah.
that. So I think this is him knowing that his legacy is all bound and determined on how thoroughly he destroys everybody.
Well,
he's going to have to,
I mean,
he's going to have
Mm-hmm. You have to look at the fact that MJ also had his supporting cast, Scottie Pippen. He also had a supporting cast that helped him get to where he is or where he was.
I agree. But if LeBron James wins 2 or 3 more titles and goes 6 for 10 in the NBA Finals, who's better, LeBron James or Michael Jordan?
You know, I got to be honest. A lot of people just will not give – LeBron the benefit of Mm-mm. about of being better than LeBron, MJ, no matter what he does, you know, because Michael Jordan can literally walk on water for basketball.
That's what I'm saying.
And I just
that's what I'm saying is, gun to head, they both finish their careers with 6 titles, and LeBron doesn't lose any more finals. Who's got the better legacy, Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
Most people will lean towards Michael Jordan because of the competition. Because of the competition
everybody's,
in his era.
Everybody's going
to
say
Charles Barkley, Clyde Drexler. You had Hall of Famers. There are not many Hall of Famers in this class. You can say,
but
okay,
it's the NBA.
Yeah,
everybody's a Hall of Famer. But
say what?
That's what I said. It's the NBA. Everybody gets in the Hall of Fame. It's okay. I'm just kidding. I'm throwing some heat.
Damn.
But. But that's what I'm saying is LeBron knows that your casual fan who follows the sport but isn't hardcore is going to choose MJ over him every single time, no matter what. So his only option to now have a legacy greater than MJ's is to not only win the same amount of titles as MJ, but thoroughly destroy anybody who walks in his path for the rest of his career in the postseason. And if he does it, because he's about to pass MJ in most points scored for playoffs, you know, playoff career points.
Mm-hmm.
He's about to pass him in assists and rebounds, and he's about to pass him in steals. He's already passed him in minutes. So stat-wise, he's going to get him. But now
someone wants to weigh in on our conversation. Let's bring in 973-517. You're live on the scoreboard. What's your name and where you calling from?
Good evening. Gibbs calling from Jersey. So,
Gibbs,
how are you?
Hey, Gibbs.
I'm really going to agree, okay? Because me, you might as well say I'm a LeBron hater. I'm serious. You might as well say I'm a LeBron hater because all my life I'm going to always say Jordan is better. I don't give a darn what happens in my eyes. Jordan is the greatest. And mind you, I'm a Lakers fan. I just feel like Jordan is the man. And it pisses me off when LeBron comes thinking he's better than Jordan. Like, no, homie, you're not. Like, you learn from Jordan. You look up to
Jordan.
That's how
Jordan better than LeBron? Can you give
me
something concrete? Why do you
feel like
watching
him since I was a little girl? Jordan is just the man. Like, period. When I think of dunks, when I think of greatness, I just think of Jordan. I'm not trying to be funny. Like, that's just how I feel. I'm serious. From the Jordan symbol to everything, I just feel like Jordan is that dude. Man, I'm going to tell you, the only thing that's saving LeBron, I'm talking about in my eyes, for me not really, really hating him, like hating his guts, I respect the fact that the man does give back. I respect anyone who have all his money and give back. So salute to him on that. But I just feel like even when we go to boxing, it's never going to be another Muhammad Ali. You know, like I just feel like some people are just – that's just their thing. Like they're the greatest of all time. And, no, I feel like us as rookies or whatever, we need to look up to the legends. Because at the end of the day, that's where we learn all our skills and stuff from. We look up to them. We watch them. We practice them. Follow their moves. That's just how I see it. I'm not trying to be funny.
So, I got a legitimate question for you. What would it take? What would LeBron James have to do in the end?
I swear I can't tell you. Because in my eyes, like exactly what you say, I'm going to always say, nope, Jordan is better or Jordan did it first. he copping off of Jordan. Like, that's just how, I'm just telling you, I can't answer everybody else, but that's just how I feel. I'm just being honest. Like,
I appreciate it because, you're proving my point is LeBron's going to have to take his domination of the NBA for the next 7 years, 8 years, however long he's got left as being the best player in the league. He's going to have to thoroughly dominate in the postseason.
I said
on
my first call, I said I truly agree with you because that's how I feel. It's like it's all day long. I'm giving it to Jordan. So you're absolutely right. I agree with you.
Well, I will say this. If LeBron takes out, if Cavaliers take out Golden State at full strength this year, then LeBron has nothing else that he can do. Because this is the true test. Golden State at full strength against LeBron. Can he do it?
Well, and not only against Golden State, but not even against Golden State. You're talking about a 73-win Golden State last year that LeBron beat.
But it was without Draymond Green. Not 100%. 100% now.
Still, it's the 73. It's the most wins in regular season team history. Golden State Warriors, you beat them.
They was down 3-1, bro. They was down 3-1. Draymond
took,
catches suspension. Totally changes the series.
The Warriors that were basically the same team last year that won 73, that won it the year before, you took them to six or seven single-handedly. Now this year, you're going up against a Warriors team that not only is coming off a 73-win season, but then added arguably the greatest pure scorer in the league right now in Kevin Durant. And if you beat him, if you beat that team, especially if you can do it before seven games, that I'm with Jazz. There's nothing else LeBron James needs to say or do. He's put himself at least at Jordan's level at that point because you've now beaten the greatest super team in his generation that has been assembled.
Nice.
And you beat them, like Tony said, without the greatest supporting cast ever around him.
True. Say what, man?
Can I go? Because I want to finish typing.
Okay.
Okay.
You
thanks
go.
For joining
thank you, baby.
I'm listening, though. I'm listening.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, baby. So I got another question for you guys. I got one more question real quick because I know we're running out of time. Kyle Lowry has decided to opt out of his deal. The point guard for the Toronto Raptors. Is he worth 5 years, $205 million? Because that's what Toronto can
match. Is that the max deal? Is that
the
max deal Toronto can offer him? That Toronto can give him? Holy crap, that's a lot of money.
Yes.
Oh.
That averages out, people, the $40 million a year.
Did you say 40, Jazz? 40.
40.
Your favorite?
40.
Here's the thing. On the surface, I have to say no. But Michael Conley has got the same deal, and I would probably take – I would put Kyle Lowry and Mike Conley probably close to the same level. So if you're going to pay Conley that much money, you kind of have to consider paying Lowry that much money. I personally would not do it, though.
I can't pay the man $205 million. You got to blow that up.
I wouldn't do it.
Lowry got to go. He was out most of the playoffs. He got to go.
Hey,
turn the page.
Hey, you preaching to the? Hey, he's on the same level as Dwight Howard for me, man. The dude's a bum most of the time. Bum. He might show flashes and be great and help your team win 10, 15 games. But when it comes to the crunch time, the dude's a bum. Bum. Go spend your money wisely. Go get somebody. Go get a playmaker.
So what you think, Miss Tony? What you think?
Definitely not. But I have a question. Wasn't he out part of the playoffs last season as well?
Yes.
So when they really need him, has he shown up?
No.
Okay,
no.
I just wanted to make sure I was remembering correctly.
No. And by the way, in this playoff, in last playoff series, he had a 6-point game. Six.
Hey, you're talking about paying somebody like $8 million per point you score.
Yeah.
Yo, for real. Yo,
and
terrible.
Not even.
Terrible. No.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know if you guys...
You said what?
Oh, sorry. Go. Go.
Oh, you good?
Oh, I was just going to say, well, I don't know if you guys addressed this last week. I don't remember quite the timeline of when all this came out. What do you guys think of Lamar Ball saying $495 for my son's shoes? And if you can't afford it, you're not a big baller.
He's not a. Hey, I'm not a baller. I'm not a big baller.
Hey, me either. And a part of being a big baller is not spending your money on trash.
Did you see the sneaker?
Uh-uh.
Yo, the sneaker is trash.
It looks like an old Kobe. I saw it on Twitter. There's like a Kobe Bryant signature shoe from like 2011 or something like that. It's the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
With a different logo.
But the one thing about
it
is because it's a prototype, because it hadn't hit the market yet, the prototypes, you can buy one of those. And if the shoe never comes out, the shoe could be worth some money down the line. But I don't know if I'm going to spend $500 to gamble on a shoe being worth more than $500 10 years from now.
Oh, especially like because if it does get made and then his son comes into the league and completely bombs out, that shoe is going to be worth $20.
Oh,
you could go buy the Stephon Marbury's from back in the day for less money than you could for more money than you could buy a ZO2 or whatever it's called.
Well, you know, the funny part in all of it is when he hits the league, whether it's the Lakers, whoever, he has to wear that shoe.
I can't wait.
That's his shoe.
I can't wait.
So let's say he twists his ankle. Let's say he twists his ankle 2 weeks in the season. Is it because of the shoes? He got them ball shoes on. I wouldn't. Ain't no way hell.
I needed y'all's reaction on that because I died when I heard that price tag. I was just like, oh my gosh, you were killing your son's career endorsement wise before it ever starts.
Before it even starts, yo. And the funny part is, they said from the articles I read is that when Under Armour, Nike, Adidas, when all of them came to him, he was like, you can't sign my son to a deal without licensing my shoe from my company. What? Are you stupid?
We have all
the money. You have none. You have no money. We have all the money.
None.
We have all the money at Audemars shit. Come on, man.
He doesn't even have an NBA player. He's not even in the league.
I know.
Yet.
Lonzo Ball, at some point in his career, if he gets to the level and is a successful NBA career to start it off, and it looks like he's going to be able to at least make somewhat of a name for himself, he is going to have to publicly come out and denounce his father in order to get Samsung and Beats and all of them to come sign him to an endorsement deal at this point. Because nobody's going to want to deal with his father.
But you know what? If he gets in the league and he does halfway decent, then his family could double him. Instead of paying $500, they bring it out for $89. If it only costs him $30 to put it together, they double him. And they keep all the money. So I have no problem with the risk. My problem is, for you to have a price tag of $495 and then tell people, if you can't afford it, you're not a big baller. That's an insult to people.
Hey, I'm all for free market capitalism, man. If you want to start a business, you want to make a shoe, you want to make a brand, you want to try to sell it, do your thing. You need to be smarter with your marketing because Colin Cowherd's show or you getting interviewed by ESPN or you going out on Twitter – running your mouth about how if you don't spend $495 on my son's shoe, you're not a big baller and we don't want you.
Exactly.
Guess what?
Okay.
Even the people who have the disposable income to pay that much money for a shoe are not going to buy that shoe because you're a prick.
And one last thing, FYI,
the shoes are only sold online at BigBaller.com.
Well, at least he was able to get his website.
You know what I mean? So if he get hit, maybe the hits are turning into money.
How is that website not taken? Like, of all the years the internet's been big, how is the BigBaller.com not been bought already?
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
internet, you have failed me.
That's a good question.
Internet, you have failed me. Internet, you have failed
me. Where are all the previous big ballers?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, actually, there were no big ballers till
you're right.
My man,
right.
Till he came. He's the big baller. I am mad at him. I hope it's successful for him. Wish you the best.
Hey, you know he can beat MJ one-on-one, so it's okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. And his shoes are going to outsell Jordan's, too, by the way. Just
oh,
going,
yeah.
You know, dropping a bucket. And one last thing.
Jordan's got the leg.
And this is for you, Louis. A question for you.
Oh, geez. Okay, I got this.
Okay. Dwight Howard was caught doing a 95 and a 65 the night before, 2 in the morning, the night of the final NBA playoff game for the Atlanta Hawks. And he had no insurance, and the car wasn't even registered.
I think he had a
and he still got to play in the game that night. He still got to play in the game that night, by the way.
Too. Okay.
So my question is, do you bring him back, or do you re-sign Paul Millsap?
You're re-signing Paul Millsap regardless. I think Millsap's reached the point. I think Millsap's reached.
Wow. Did we lose him?
Hello? Damn, I think we lost him. Damn it.
Close to winning a championship. And I think he goes ring chasing here soon because he's a really good player. He, you know, and he wants a chance to compete. Keeping Dwight Howard really just depends on how hard it's going to hit your salary cap. Because if it's worth the salary cap hit, I cut him regardless of the legal troubles anyway. Because the dude's a bum. But if it's going to kill your salary cap, then you kind of gotta you sign to a 3-year deal. I mean, one more year of the bum can't hurt you. So. I mean, if the salary
cap is going
to
have a list of all of Louis' bums. How many you call
Dwight Howard
bums tonight,
one.
Louis?
Dwight Howard's number one. Kyle Lowry's right behind him. I guess.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I was interested in what your response would be as far as do you keep Howard? Do you keep Millsap? You know, how do you feel about Boomhauser being – not being a GM anymore, not just being head coach.
Budenholzer needed out as GM last year. After all that crap, I think he got lucky and his team played at a super high level for like a 3-month stretch. And then when they won 60 and were the number one seed a couple years ago, he got the title. He hadn't done anything. He hasn't signed anybody. He hasn't made any trades. He's made really dumb trades. I think he's a crappy GM. I'm glad to see him get kicked out the door. If I were the Hawks, I would do everything I can to re-sign Paul Millsap because I like Paul Millsap. He's a great player. I just don't think Atlanta's got anything to offer him to make him want to stay other than more money.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, I think Paul Millsap's out the door unless he just wants the money. Then he might stay. Dwight Howard's a bum.
Hey, do it, Carmelo.
Cut him, let him go off into the sunset being a bum, and he might get a job on ESPN sharing his bumness to the world.
Makes it. Well, I want to say, I know we're out of time, but next week, what I want to do is, by this time next week, the other two series should be concluded. Next year, I want to go over each playoff team that made the playoffs this year. What should they do as far as re-signing and free agents? And you guys, and we'll talk about that next week.
See, now you're going to give me
the
homework.
Two remaining
I'm
teams?
Good at doing homework. Oh, jeez.
It's not homework, man. It's cool.
Hey,
I got
Jazz,
you. I got
Jazz,
you.
You can't. You can't roll up at the clubhouse at 8:10 expecting us to have your answers for you. You better be here on time.
Okay.
Then.
All right. I'll be
on the scoreboard.
Louis cracking the whip.
This is the scoreboard on Real World Radio, and we're serious here. We're not a bunch of bums.
Okay.
We're not a bunch of Dwight Howards or LeBron James. We got this.
Okay, you're absolutely right, sir. And I will not be talking next week. I will be on time, chopping at the bit, ready to converse with you guys. I apologize, and it will not happen again, sir. I absolutely apologize, sir.
I can only cover for so many minutes, Jazz.
That doesn't mean 802, Jazz. That doesn't mean 802. That means 7:59. You better be in the clubhouse.
Okay, I'll be in the clubhouse at 8 o'clock. I ain't gonna say 7:59.
If you're early, you're on time. If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. Ask your coworker about that one. If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late.
There you go.
Yeah, that's why we don't.
I'm in the clubhouse.
So you're right. You're right, and I will be. I will not be tardy, and I expect answers to my questions, people. Hey.
Oh crap!
Gotta wait. I'm gonna be on time. You know I'm gonna be on time, so I'm gonna be red hot. I just wanted to know that. You know I'm gonna be red hot.
All right, we're holding you to that, Jazz.
So, y'all have a good night. Thank you, guys. And like I said, don't worry about it, Louis. I got you. I got you, baby.
All right, man. I'll be here.
Oh, you guys are too much. Thank you, everybody, for joining us once again here on the scoreboard.
Absolutely.
We are your radio tailgate party.
Oh.
You know, anything you want to know about sports, you can find it right here
I got a question for you. I got a question for you, Nicole.
Uh-oh. Oh, jeez.
I'm wrapping up, and he's still got the questions.
Are we still being simulcast in North Carolina? I'm just kidding.
People can hear us all over the place, Jazz. We are worldwide.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Well, hey,
all right.
We big ballers.
Worldwide.
Hey, we big ballers. I'm going to make a shoe.
Okay.
$475. I'm on it.
All right. Yeah.
Well, once again, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We will be right here next Tuesday. Make sure you have your homework ready for Mr. Jazz, who will be in the clubhouse at 7:55.
Red hot, baby, red hot.
Y'all have a good
night. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night. Kick that beat for me, baby.
Absolutely.
Nobody sounds it off.
I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber, nigga. I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I'm always making moves like a Uber, like a Uber, yeah. I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber, nigga. I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I'm always making moves like a Uber, yeah. From the block to the billboard. Making platinum records, nigga, I was built for it. Making millions after millions, man, I live for it. I never sell my soul, but I kill for it. I'm a street cat, I be where the streets at. I got street cred, you can check my street facts. It's rules to the game, believe it. Never call the police and never call defects. I be on the block where the thugs hang. Eating steak and lobster tails with the plug ring. It's money over bitches, ain't no love, man. So I let my nerves hang. Where I'm from, they be trapping out the bando. Shoebox money wrapped in rubber bands. For them blue face hunters, I go ham for. I keep the stick talking like them John Rambo. Blah. I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber, nigga. I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I'm always making moves like a Uber, yeah.
Like a Uber, yeah.
I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I be making moves like a Uber,
like a Uber, nigga.
I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I'm always making moves like a Uber,
like a Uber.
I be making moves like a Uber.